Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1213, the topic is Q&A, and the title is How to Manage Nutrition on Weekends and Social Events. All of my online clients have an online journal that I use to communicate with them. It's a Google Doc. They can write in it 24/7. I respond at least once a week. I try to do it more often as I can. And then they have my phone number for emergencies and kind of quicker things. But the recent check-in with one of my clients, the question of how to manage nutrition on weekends and social events came up. And that was actually the third client this week that asked. So I was like, I need to update my older podcasts on this topic and kind of create a nice podcast, nice resource that people can use that I can also send to clients. Typically, when I reference a podcast in the journal for a client, I'll write a brief description and then give the podcast as like a follow-up. Because often the podcast is very good for general information. I like to give them a couple specifics of how to apply it. So that way it's literally actually for them. And then the podcast is like a helpful additive. So today's podcast, what I want to do is go through what that client and I discussed in their journal. And that includes actually a little bit of beginning information about alcohol and candy. And then it leads into the weekends. So I wanted to include all of it just so that way if anybody was interested or wondered what the check-ins looked like, this is a very normal circumstance. So they wrote, it's been really busy, as in they've been really busy lately. Sunday was a bust. 3 drinks and 8 candy. And I said, yeah, you know, that's a bummer. But the drinks and candy may not be a bust automatically. And this client is relatively new to the conversion of thought from specific foods are bad for me to we actually want to track our total food intake, like calories, protein, sugars. And as long as those numbers are correct, we can make progress. We might feel good versus feel bad if we eat good versus quote unquote bad food, but they can actually make progress. What I want them to get like the mindset away from is just because they eat a piece of candy doesn't mean the whole day is ruined. And they are constantly beating themselves up for eating foods that they believe are bad foods. And it's just causing them to just spiral. They're never really making progress. They feel like they're making mistakes all the time. But they're looking at the wrong thing. You can actually eat candy and still make progress towards, you know, fat loss, strength, muscle mass, all the gains, everything you want. You can have candy. Just because you had a piece of candy doesn't mean your day's ruined. And that's what I want them to understand. So I wrote, the drinks and candy may not be a bust automatically. What derails our progress is when we have extreme caloric deficits and or extreme caloric surpluses. So if the drinks and candy didn't actually push you over your calorie range for the day, it wouldn't actually ruin progress. It wouldn't make the day a bust. Yes, we don't want our calories to routinely come from alcohol and candy, as that doesn't convert well towards helping build muscle tissue and or repair the body. And alcohol has negative impacts on hormone levels. And in general, if we consume those foods on a regular basis, we will have energy crashes, poor blood health. But consuming them automatically doesn't automatically mean we ruined the day or we ruined our progress. If we have them occasionally, we just make less progress on those days and may feel like crap on those days or the day after, depending on how much we drank. But it doesn't automatically cause fat gain or completely shut down fat loss. I would not recommend somebody drink alcohol and eat candy as a routine behavior on a fat loss diet. Definitely not. But what I want this client to understand and what I would want anybody listening to the podcast right now to understand is just because you drank a drink, an alcoholic drink, or two or three, just because you had a couple pieces of candy or a bar or, you know, or a box or whatever it is, don't throw away everything else. just because you ate a couple foods that are quote unquote, you know, bad foods or things you wouldn't typically think are appropriate for a diet, it doesn't mean the net outcome is everything is wasted. Too often people have this black and white mindset where, you know, if I have a drink of alcohol on the weekend, I've ruined the entire weekend. I just threw away a whole week's of progress. No, you just had a drink. Like, you just had a drink, you had a couple hundred calories maybe that you didn't plan on having. And if it pushed you over the edge, you know, you didn't lose any body fat during that time period. Maybe you accrued the smallest little percentage of fat in that moment. But you get right back on track. That's a blip. That is nothing that'll even be significant if we just get right back on track with our normal behaviors. Do not let one deviation shut down the entire process. She then said she also had three drinks on Sunday. So, bummer. We had three drinks on Saturday and candy, and then we had three drinks again on Sunday. I told her that I appreciated that she let me know. So I thanked her for letting me know. And it's helpful for me to understand what's going on in the large picture of things. Because if we see that we're having alcohol on the weekends, how can we cut it from three drinks down to two or to one? Are there lower calorie options than higher calorie options for drinks? And then also, can we maybe manipulate our carb and fat intake to make quote unquote room for the calories from the alcohol? And I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. She then wrote, as expected, my weight is going up. Well, I asked her in our initial information to weigh herself on Mondays and Thursdays. Before you eat or drink anything, go to the bathroom, then weigh yourself on Monday and Thursday and let me know. We haven't been seeing that data, so I reminded her to start sending that to me, so that way I can help give extra perspective to the numbers that she's seeing. As an example, it is normal for body weight to fluctuate around 1% per day, meaning if a person weighs 150 pounds, it would be normal to have a daily fluctuation between 148.5 and 151.5 pounds. So a normal fluctuation of a 3-pound window. And that would not have any direct indication of fat gain or fat loss. It's a simple water retention fluctuation and or a buildup of waste. Maybe you ate a lot of food and you didn't go to the bathroom yet today. So that might be why you're heavier. Also, anytime we change from our usual routine, you'll see a temporary response. For example, if we have a weekend where we ate at different meal times, and we had different foods, your weight on a Monday may be up 1 to 2 pounds from the previous Thursday. But that's indicative of a water weight change, not fat increase, if by the upcoming Thursday, those 1 or 2 pounds drop right back off. So I weighed myself on Thursday. I ate a little crappy over the weekend. I'm up 3 pounds on Monday. But by the following Thursday, I'm back down 3 pounds. Then that was just water retention. No big deal. For example, we have to eat like kind of a butthead to gain a pound to at most 2 pounds in a single week. You'd have to pretty much eat where you did not care and you were purposely overeating for a full week to gain like 2 pounds of actual like fat material, like body fat, not the weight, water weight associated with it, just the fat itself. You would have to eat completely off the rails for a whole week for that to happen. So to have a 3 pound increase in 3 or 4 days, then have a 3 pound drop in another 3 days, that's only going to be indicative of water weight, not that we're gaining fat and losing fat that fast. So I wanted her to send me her body weight, because if she's like, oh, my weight's going up and it only went up 0.5 pounds, no big deal whatsoever. No concern. So it helps me to see the data, so that way I can help give perspective to weight changes that clients may see. It's amazing how much people will celebrate the reduction of something, say they lost 0.2 pounds, but they'll become just demoralized, defeated, deflated if they were to gain 0.2 pounds. So I want to give perspective to that and help her understand in her specific situation what that weight change is maybe representing, so that way she doesn't lose motivation and we end up throwing away the entire process. She absolutely can still make progress. Even if we are seeing a little bit of a weight increase, it could simply be explained via like water weight change and maybe waist buildup, not actually fat storage. She did say her strength and exercise has been on point. She only missed 2 days in the last kind of a week or so. And that's good. And for her, that's a really good job. Like she's improved. The consistency is definitely moving up. Really happy about that. She then wrote, any thoughts around how to manage the weekends? So now we're finally at the title of the podcast. So I gave her a couple little quick tips that I wanted to share in the podcast is, number one, eat early. Number two, front load the day. And number three, prioritize protein. If you focus on those three components, you will have a successful weekend, or at least an opportunity to learn from the weekend. Because we have a perspective now that's guiding our actions. We can see how our actions led to certain outcomes, and we can learn from that. So we're either going to learn things that went well, or we're going to learn things that didn't go well, and we know to try something else next time. So that's the idea. So how do we manage weekends? Eat early, front load the day, and prioritize protein. As for eating early, in order to help reduce extreme deficits and surpluses and cortisol increases. So when we increase cortisol, which happens from a significant caloric deficit. So if she wakes up in the weekend, starts being super busy, doesn't eat enough, ends up eating everything at night, cortisol is going to be sky high because she had to spend all day using reserve energy. Her body's going to be very grumpy about that. So when cortisol is high, it reduces fat usage, it promotes fat storage, and it increases water retention. None of that is good. So it's helpful to start the day with a good amount of calories and protein. So that way we can keep cortisol low, we can reduce extremes and deficits and surpluses. Now, when I say it's good to, you know, start the day with a good amount of calories and protein, how much? Well, that is where we get back to time blocks. I tell clients this on a regular basis. You have undoubtedly heard this as the podcast, if you've listened to a couple, is we want to divide our day into three sections. If we sleep roughly on average 6 to 8 hours, that means we're awake for 16 to 18 hours a day. If we divide that into 3 6-hour sections, the first 6 hours of being awake is the first 1/3 of the day. We would aim for 1/3 of our calories and protein. In the second 6 hours of the day is the second 1/3 of the day. We aim for 1/3 of our calories and protein. In the final hours of being awake is the final 1/3 of the day. We aim for the final 1/3 of our calories and protein. If we can hit that at least 1/3 target in the first 6 hours on the weekend, we're doing a great job. That can be achieved in one meal, or maybe two snack meals, or like a big meal and then a small snack. Doesn't matter. Just however, in the first 6 hours of being awake, eat 1/3 of your calories and 1/3 of your protein. If we can do that, we're going to correct a lot of mistakes that people typically make on the weekend, which is they undereat during the day, they overeat at night. That leads into point number 2, which is to front load the day. Again, we're trying to avoid undereating during the day and overeating at night. So we want to aim to consume most of your food during the beginning and middle of the day with the intent to taper the calories down towards the end of the day. Typically, we are less active in the evenings, so to avoid excessive surpluses in the evenings, it's best to aim to consume less calories in the evenings. So if we think of those 1/3s, the first 6 hours of the day, I want to have 1/3 of my calories of protein. In the second 1/3 of my day, the second 6 hour block, we have 1/3 of our calories of protein. That then gives you the final 1/3 of the day. And you can have 1/3 of your calories of protein kind of however you want in there, or you can kind of front load it in those 6 hours. So maybe you wake up at 7. So from 7 to like 1 p.m. is the first part of the day. Then from 1 to around 7 p.m. is the second part of the day, kind of the middle of the day. But that's definitely tapering into the evening for sure, right? So I might want to bring some of those calories and protein from that final 1/3, bring them into the middle 1/3 of the day. And that actually peaks my food in the middle of the day. The 1/3 concept is a general concept. It doesn't have to be literal. It's just a concept. What we really want to do is try to think of eating evenly throughout the day. If a client is able to do that, what we then do is We aim to shift the calories of protein around to better match our activity of the day. Most people's activity follows a bell curve. They get up in the morning, kind of lower activity, super active during the day, lower activity at night. We would want our calories to actually kind of follow that, is where the bulk of our calories and protein come in when the most active we are. If we work out in the morning, that's going to be in the morning hours. If you work out midday, that's the midday hours. If we work out in the evening, that's the evening hours. So the curve of our energy usage should be how we match our calorie and protein intake. So front-loading the day, or trying to make sure that she has the majority of her calories of protein in the beginning and middle of the day, really helps us decrease any excess at night. The final thing, the third point, is to prioritize protein. When we're out of our normal routine, protein almost always, 99.9% of the time, drops below our daily needs. When we don't think about it, we don't tend to aim for it, we eat more carbs, and we end up falling short of our protein. To counter this, when you're deciding what to eat during the day, one question can save you. The question is, what in this meal will provide me with protein? When you eat anything during the day, any meal you put together, any food you're going to stuff in your face, ask, what in this meal will provide me protein? If you don't have a definitive answer to that, it's probably going to be a bad meal to eat, in the sense that you're not going to keep the balance of calories and protein that you really want. You're going to end up over-consuming carbs and fats. So every time we eat, there should be something in there that's providing a substantial amount of protein. That's a good way for you to make sure that we track and maintain our protein during the day. That helps reduce water retention and kind of soft and pudginess around our midsection that we tend to feel. It reduces muscular tightnesses. It reduces us feeling kind of lethargic and kind of like low energy at the end of the day. It allows us to feel better leading into the next week of training. If we're low on protein on the weekends, we under-recover our muscle and connective tissue on the weekends, and then we go into the next week feeling kind of stiff and beat up a little bit, and that just gets worse and worse every time we do that, and it can kind of build on itself into where we start to have nagging hip, knee, elbow, shoulder issues when we're under-eating our protein on the weekends. She then said that she has some family coming up, like a family visit coming up, and she's a little bit nervous. I said, that's totally reasonable. These moments are learning opportunities. There are moments we can try new tactics and work on developing new habits. You do not have to be perfect in these moments. We just want to have a sense of having tried something in regards to trying to make better choices and to trying to implement better habits. Whether the goal works out, whether it works or not, we want to end the moment, end the social event, with the sense that we learned something. We either learned an option that did work and we can keep it for the future, or we learned, oh crap, that didn't work at all. Let me try something different next time. So when we're nervous about social events, we're nervous typically because, how am I going to do everything perfectly, right? Don't worry about perfect. Just worry about, hey, can I do better than the last time at a social event? The last time at a social event, I ate, you know, half a sheet of birthday cake and drank four drinks. Can I eat a quarter of a sheet of birthday cake this time and have three drinks? So just, can we do better in some way, to a small degree, in any way whatsoever that we can learn from? That's the goal. She then asked, how would she manage nights out? How do you manage like social drinks at night? Well, alcohol contains 7 calories per gram. Our body burns it off as fuel, similar to glucose. There's an enormous difference. I know that. What I'm trying to get across is our body uses it as energy, so we have to account for it. In light of that, we want to treat alcohol calories as if they are carbohydrates. When we want to make room in our daily caloric allowance for alcohol, we would consume less carbohydrates. If you don't already consume carbohydrates, maybe you have a really high fat diet, then reduce fats, reduce calories from fats. We're trying to make a caloric allowance. So when we consume the alcohol, the calories of the alcohol replace the amount we took away earlier in the day. The calories from the alcohol don't create an excess of energy calories. we don't want to take away protein because alcohol does not work as protein works. It works similar to carbohydrates. So we want to take away carbohydrates first. If your carbohydrates are already very low, then take away fats. But the idea is to make caloric allowance for the drinks, and then that way it won't push you back too far. You're still going to have negative hormonal response. There's still some negatives for sure. But if you want to have the drinks, how are you going to make room for it? This would be the way. Reduce calories from carbohydrates. If not, then fats. And then at least you have the room for calories from alcohol. What's the best way? Don't have alcohol at all. That is the best answer. If you're going to have some, this is the second best answer. Okay. So I thought that was helpful. A little bit short on this one, but I want it to be easily digested so that way people would listen to it and be able to take away something from it. So the main thing, how do we manage nutrition on weekends? Eat early, front load the day, prioritize protein. How do we manage nutrition on social events? Take away carbohydrates and fats earlier in the day to make caloric allowance for the calories you'll have in the alcohol in the evening. Okay. Awesome. If you have any questions, if you need anything, you can reach out on our website, www.brittleirongym.com. On the bottom of the homepage is a contact form. You can send me a message and I'll reply to you. I reply to everybody within 2 weeks. So if you send me a message, give me about 2 weeks and I'll get back to you. You can also check out the other services we have, such as our nutrition coaching and nutrition training coaching, a lot of other things. There's also free information on the website as well. Tons of good stuff. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on the website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.